Hello, this is Nicolene Ambrose with the Tri-County Journal for Moultrie, Douglas, and Coles Counties, the issue of Wednesday, August 12th. First article. A note from the Douglas County Health Department about back to school. With the new school year approaching, simple preventative measures are necessary for in-person learning. Whether this is your child's first year in public school or their 12th, all in-person learning will be filled with new preventive measures and safety protocols. By implementing the simple measures of the three W's in casual conversations and modeling, you'll remove some fear and make what's new familiar. Much of the spread of COVID-19 is preventable with the three W's. First, washing hands with soap for 20 seconds. Second, watching your distance, keeping 6 feet between you and others, and third, wearing a mask or face cover around others. You as parents hold the greatest influence. Anything you can do to support their transition before in-person learning begins would be a selfless, worthy, and beneficial investment. Students will benefit from the heartfelt, collaborative efforts of public health, school administration, staff, teachers, coaches, and bus drivers. Anything you, as parents, grandparents, or guardians, can say or do, or for some, what you refrain from saying or sharing with them, will influence your child's cooperation or opposition. When asked for the responsibility to protect students, staff, and themselves, the precautions are not only warranted, they are necessary. School administration, staff, and coaches have been tasked with the responsibility of educating while simultaneously preventing the spread. Our students' best chance of success lies with their examples outside of school. Modeling simple measures for them in public spaces is the best way to prepare them for those first in-person days at school. Serve as an example of what to do. Share that you support the whys behind the measures necessary. Reaffirm why these measures are important and why using them will help you protect others. As a parent, your support of these measures and your willingness to implement them personally will impact whether your student chooses to whether age 6 or over 22 years. Unfortunately, COVID-19 is not going away before the school year begins. If everyone supports the measures to reduce the spread, in-person school days have their best chance of continuing. In continuing, all can count on more consistent schedules. The restrictions in public spaces can remain menial, and all in Douglas County can safely enjoy more normalcy with fewer disruptions. Preventative measures are the only way schools have of a chance of remaining open in person. The responsibilities COVID-19 has added to staff and school districts are unparalleled. Districts have been tasked with implementing preventative measures for people and spaces in order to protect staff and students. In itself a challenging task, but in less than a month, it's unthinkable. It would be beneficial for all parents, guardians, and care providers to begin modeling and using the terms students will hear in school, as well as the whys. The more they understand, the more they will respect and accept the need for these measures, understanding that while they are healthy, their actions and conduct can impact others who may not be healthy, incorporating washing hands with soap for 20 seconds, explaining the whys behind 6-foot distancing, and why it's important to pair 6-foot distancing with a face cover or mask in public and school spaces. You will be giving them their best chance for success. Voicing or modeling outside of school is counterproductive if your goal is to realize more normalcy. We can't model opposition to prevention and then expect our child to respect the need for it at school. Public health and school officials are doing all we can, but parents, grandparents, caregivers, you hold the most influential role. Please model by your example and give kids you love their best chance of success before in-person school begins. Make the three W's part of your everyday: wash, watch, and wear, and then share the whys. Together, we can do this. Summer Phillips, PIO, Douglas County Health Department, Education Outreach Media. Second article, IHSA and IESA decide to give Illinois fall sports seasons a chance. By Lenny Cementi. On July 14th, the Illinois High School Athletics Association deferred to the Illinois Department of Public Health and the Governor's Office on all COVID-19 issues and return to play guidelines moving forward. The 29th of July, Governor J.B. Pritzker announced during a late morning press conference before an awaited announcement from the IHSA later on that day in high school sports, youth sports, and adult recreation sports will be restricted due to the pandemic starting on August 15th. Pritzker stated the restrictions would be based on three tiers of risk, low, medium, and high, that were sport-related with four levels of action allowed as approved by the IDPH. Currently, the state is at level 3, which allows intra-conference or intra-region or league championship games for low-risk sports only. Then in the afternoon of that same day, the IHSA Board of Directors released a modified schedule for the 2021 school year that provides a framework for student athletes, coaches, athletic directors, and officials to begin planning for the year ahead. As of now, only two sports at Tuscola are affected, football and volleyball, both of which will be moved from fall to spring. This plan, like nearly every aspect of our current lives, remains fluid, IHSA Executive Director Craig Anderson said in a news release. Changes may come, and if they do, we will be agile while putting safety and students first. The IHSA boys and girls golf, as well as cross country, will still be played in the fall, beginning on August 10th, as planned, with competition versus Central Illinois Conference opponents and other districts in our geographical area deemed by the state. Schedules will continue to be assessed throughout each season. The shortened season dates and risk levels are as follows. Providing state series remains a priority of the IHSA board and will be made on a sport-by-sport basis as the school year progresses. Following are the coaches' thoughts following the announcements. Cross-country head coach Mike Rosenbaum stated, "The season is going to look a little bit different, but our first practice begins next Monday, and we'll begin getting ready for races just like any other year. I'm very happy with the decision. Spending time and developing kids is why we do what we do." Coach Crutley's assistants Adam and Maria and myself are excited for the season to begin. We've had a very productive summer with the kids, and we're looking forward to watching the work come to fruition. Head golf coach Doug Bauer kept his reply short and sweet. "I'm extremely grateful to have a season this fall and any challenges it may bring. Both fall sports could see additional names on their rosters, as football and volleyball players will now have the opportunity to swing a club or run the trails at Wimple Park." Longtime girls basketball coach Tim Kohlbecker chimed in, "I'm just pleased we get to have some semblance of a season. I feel for the spring sport athletes and coaches and hope there are other options or solutions for their situation." His counterpart on the boys' side, head coach Justin Bozarth, went a little deeper. "We are incredibly grateful to have a plan. The IHSA had a difficult task when you look at the amount of sports and activities that fall under their umbrella. In the beginning, I made the mistake of just considering what Tuscola's seasons could look like. You lose track of the IHSA having to make decisions based on schools our size, as well as schools with thousands of students and many more activities. On top of that, the IHSA doesn't have the resources to fight any litigation when making these difficult decisions. When it comes to Tuscola athletics, I'm thrilled that the plan allows all of our athletes to participate in all of their respective sports. In some cases, our kids may be able to do more sports than they've ever done before. In short, at the end of the day, our kids and coaches have a schedule that allows us to get back to competition, and I couldn't be happier for our kids to have the opportunity to resume those activities. Football in the spring will have a different look to it for sure, stated Andy Romine. I'm just glad our kids will have a chance to play. Baseball coach Adam Carver, whose sport, like softball and track, was canceled this past spring, was quoted as saying, "I think it's great that they are trying to get all sports played for the 2021 season, but it shouldn't be at the expense of the original spring sports. Baseball, softball, and track already lost a full season and shouldn't have to suffer through having the shortest season of all the sports. Two events per week are quite restrictive, and I am hoping by the time May comes around, they will change that to allow for more games to be played. The only benefit I see is that we will get to play in warmer temperatures. They better give the football players ice skates for their first month of practice game." Track coach and athletic director Ryan Hornaday gave a perspective for both positions. "As an AD, I feel absolutely terrible for our traditional spring athletes. They lost all of last year and are getting approximately a quarter school year. A typical softball or baseball player competes in roughly 70 games over the course of their junior and senior season. This year's senior players will play a total of about 15 games to account for their last 2 years of high school. In a typical year, our track and field athletes that do not play basketball start the indoor season in mid-January and conclude in late May. So you're talking 18 to 19 weeks worth of training and competitions. In the current scenario, we're looking at 8 total weeks. To state the obvious, our track and field athletes will miss out on a significant amount of opportunities for the second year in a row. Very disappointing." On July 23rd, ahead of the governor and IHSA's announcements, the IESA board overseeing junior high school activities canceled all sporting activities. But on the 31st, they did an about-face, stating, "We do not like reversing decisions, but in this case, we felt the information that became available warranted a review. Golf, softball, baseball, and cross country will be allowed during the fall, ultimately approving the resumption of a regular season of sports deemed low risk and a plan for the rest of the school year." East Prairie girls basketball and track and athletic director Beth Pugh has been coaching since 1984 and 1992 in Tuscola and is set to retire following the school year. This change gives her a few more chances to don the whistle. "I'm glad the IESA took the time to reconsider their decision on sports for the 2021 season. These are very hard decisions with no previous years to give guidance to those making the decisions. There is not a perfect solution, but I am glad they are giving the athletes and coaches a chance to play and coach. We all need to work together, give a little to each other in their sports, and we can make this happen." Next article. Give fall a kickstart by shopping downtown Arthur this Labor Day. While Labor Day weekend will look a little different this year, Arthur is still the place to be, with the shops offering in-store specials on Friday, September 4th and Saturday, September 5th. An Arthur gift basket drawing, valued over $150, plus 4 other prizes, will be given away to 5 lucky shoppers. To enter, just get your card stamped at the participating businesses and turn it in to the last store you visit. Get your fill of shake-ups, fries, corn dogs, funnel cakes, mini donuts, sweet tea, and more as food truck vendors including Big Al's Shake-Ups, Bub's Donuts, Color's French Fries, Pig Out, Sweet Tea and Jesus, and Yoder's Kettle Corn will be downtown September 5th only. There will also be a Labor Day weekend flea market located at 110 and 111 North Vine Street. Hours for the flea market will be Friday, 12 to 5 p.m., Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sunday, 12 to 5 p.m., and Monday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. For more information about the market, call 254-5010. Make your plans now to come to Arthur Labor Day weekend. Fall is just around the corner. Next article. This year's annual Arthur Amish Country Cheese Festival canceled. The Arthur Area Association of Commerce has made the difficult decision to cancel the 2020 Arthur Cheese Festival held annually on Labor Day weekend. Please know that we desperately wanted to put on the festival for several reasons, including to provide some normalcy and give our community an event that is so commonly associated with Arthur. Out of concern for the health and safety of our volunteers, our community, our vendors, etc., we felt this was our only option. There are too many factors that are just out of our control. We work extremely hard each year to put on a great festival, and the AAAOC will look forward to once again hosting the Cheese Festival September 4th through 6th, 2021. Next article. The Great Pumpkin Patch announces changes to the fall season. In a statement released on their Facebook page late Friday evening, Ginny and Mac Condell announced their intentions regarding changes to the upcoming fall season. Feeling the weight of safety protocols and the responsibility to their customers, staff, family, friends, and the community, they came to the realization that the 2020 pumpkin season needed to look different. Our mission has always been to provide a safe place for everyone to experience the harvest season, and this year we feel we would have to alter too many things that you love and therefore wouldn't be able to offer the full experience that you're used to, they posted on Facebook. As a result, the pumpkin patch side of the farm will not be open to visitors. They are, however, creating a new experience called the Kirkcurbit Market. It will be next to the Homestead Bakery, and you will be able to get all the pumpkins, squash, gourds, and beautiful mums you have come to expect over the years. In a statement to this newspaper Sunday evening, Max stated, "The Great Pumpkin Patch will be continuing to find ways to get our produce diversity into people's hands safely, and this season gives us a unique opportunity to do just that." He added, "We hope people continue to put time and effort into their homes, and hopefully we'll all go in there with their fall decorating." The admission-free new Kirkcurbit Market is set to open on Saturday, September 19th through October 31st, Tuesday through Sunday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. They will still be offering all of your fall favorites, pumpkins, pumpkin ice cream, cider slush, and more. And don't forget the Homestead Bakery's porch will still be open, serving baked goodness just as they always have. The Great Pumpkin Patch is looking forward to seeing you all this fall. Next, we have the obituaries. Todd M. Kleiss. Todd M. Kleiss, 52, of Tuscola, passed away at 5:42 p.m. Saturday, July 25th at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana, Illinois. Private family graveside services will be held at the Tuscola Township Cemetery. Celebration of life services will be held at a later date. Memorials are suggested to the American Diabetes Association. Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home is entrusted with the arrangements. Margaret A. Childress. Margaret A. Maggie Childress, 99, of Charleston, passed away Sunday, July 5th, at Hilltop Skilled Nursing and Rehabilitation Center, Charleston. Her graveside funeral was held at 1 p.m. Saturday, July 11th, at Roselawn Cemetery, Charleston. Liam Valentine Wilgus. Liam Valentine Wilgus, infant son of Dustin and Heidi Wilgus, was stillborn on Wednesday, July 15th at Sarah Bush Lincoln Hospital in Mattoon, Illinois. Private services were held at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, July 18th at the Drew and Heather Miller residence. Reverend Mike Carr officiated. Carol S. Spraker. Carol Sue Spraker, 68, of Atwood, passed away at 1:38 a.m. Monday, July 27th at the Decatur Memorial Hospital, Decatur, Illinois. Celebration of life services will be held at a later date. Hillegas Schrader Funeral Home, Atwood, is assisting the family with arrangements. Vernice M. Lee. Vernice Marie Lee, 83, of Mattoon, passed away at 9:30 p.m. on Thursday, July 30th, at Oddfellow Rebecca Home in Mattoon. A memorial service was held at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesday, August 4th, at the Edwards Funeral Home. Private family burial was in the Rest Haven Cemetery in Mattoon, Illinois. Next article, support group for Parkinson's to restart. Horizon Health's Parkinson's support group will start meeting again on Wednesday, August 19th from 2 to 3 p.m. at Senior Care in Paris. The group had stopped meeting for several months due to COVID-19. Senior Care has moved from its former location along Route 150 near Dollar General to the new Life Center building at 745 East Court Street on the Horizon Health campus. During these challenging times, we felt an obligation for the group to start meeting again to address the additional stress our participants and their loved ones may be feeling, said Connie Rhodes, licensed clinical social worker and manager at Senior Care. We are implementing strict guidelines to ensure the safety of everyone who attends the meeting. The Parkinson's Support Group is a free service that meets on the first and third Wednesdays of each month. The group is for individuals with Parkinson's disease and their caregivers. Family and friends are also welcome to attend. A registered nurse and a social worker are always present. The support group is held in conjunction with the Big and Loud programs provided by Horizon Health's Rehabilitation Services Department. However, individuals do not have to be enrolled in those programs to attend the support group. Likewise, Big and Loud participants may be encouraged to attend the support group. For more information about the Parkinson's Support Group and other senior care services, call 217-466-4170. Next article, Neil Wood, Assessing the Tax Future for Douglas County Residents, by Tony Hooker. Contrary to popular belief, tax assessors don't hang upside down in caves and swoop in the dead of night and levy their decisions, local tax man Neil Wood laughs at that notion. In fact, they're local residents who are often elected to their positions. They also can serve as an assessor at the township level on a contractual basis as well. Wood does both. Mr. Wood, who farms with his sons and sells real estate in addition to performing his duties as assessor, recently took time out to talk about how he goes about his business. Question: How did you get involved with tax assessment? The longtime assessor before me, Jim Young, was a local farmer who sold real estate and was the assessor. I watched him break his life down into parts and managed his time very well while doing it, and so when he got ready to retire, I thought it was something that I could do because I sold real estate and I farmed a little, and it's worked out well. Next question. Let's start at the beginning. Are you a local guy? I grew up in Edgar County and married Shelley Bosch from Newman. This is her family's 100-year family farm that we're living on. We've lived out here for 20 years, and we farmed it for 35. Do you have any kids? We have 3 adult children and 6 grandkids. 2 of my sons are active in farming. What kind of background does it take to do the job of assessor? I think it takes knowledge of the area and its economics and being able to keep up with the continuing education. Out of all county officials, including townships, we are the only one besides state's attorneys and judges who have to have a certain level of education. Is there a resource for you to go to regarding assessments? Up until the COVID-19 pandemic, the Illinois Department of Revenue was the best resource we had. They still answer emails, but that contact with them isn't there for right now. What goes into your decision-making regarding tax assessment? It starts with a building permit through the township, the county, or the city. I'm elected in a multi-district township assessing district, and it's Newman, Sargent, and Beaudry, and then I'm contracted in Camargo. Then I'll go out and do a hard sketch, and then I'll put it into a system known as the Vanguard Appraisal System. It's a mass appraisal system that the counties pay for, and then we can continue through a minimal fee each year. You load a parcel into the program. Each township is different. Then, if someone has added a building, so you can go in and sketch it, and from there you can email it directly to the county. Then I add photos, and then we go into valuing. Then you add the building and the properties to start to build value. The values are based off of sales ratio study with the 3 years of data. We're always behind by a year, so 2019 values were based off of 16, 17, and 18 data. This program is very accurate. So the Vanguard program puts all the formulas. It's only as good as the data you use, but it's an amazing thing in its accuracy. I think there's a misconception about how you determine property values. There's no guesswork involved. It's all technical in nature. The only human information includes the square footage and styles. You can tweak it, of course, but this program does it itself. I tell property owners that it's the value data driven and it's all right here. Just like any business, it's not pens and paper anymore. How does having wind turbines on your property affect the amount of taxes levied? The wind turbines are assessed per megawatt. The assessed value will be added to the total EAV, equalized assessed value, in the township in which they're located. Then when your taxing bodies, schools, fire, library, etc., will levy their amount and receive their percentage of the added value in addition to the taxes on the land itself. There's a misconception that the city raised our taxes, and that isn't correct, right? No. Anytime they want to raise taxes, it has to go before a vote. They can't just start raising taxes. Everything has a purpose. You're a full-time farmer, realtor, and tax assessor. That's a pretty full plate, right? Honestly, these days, you can almost sell a house without leaving home, almost. You can do it by your phone. How long have you been the assessor? I'm ending my second term, so it will be 8 years when we go into another caucus in December. Other than building a building, is there anything that you look for? When I go out and look at a property, I take this, indicates laptop, along. It's sad, but decks that are mounted to the house are accessible. New garages or any added square footage to the house are accessible. You have to look for changes like that. Central air conditioning is accessible. In Douglas County, a paved driveway is accessible. People don't want their taxes to go up, but they want to get the best value when they sell it, so there has to be a happy medium, and that's where I think a local assessor comes in, because he knows the market and he knows what's going on. Assessors are just the beginning of the equation. I go out and set the values, and those things are sent to the county and inputted. Then you add things like levies for the schools and everyone else, and then you have to come up with a tax rate. I'm just a starting point. The ending point is the treasurer. She sends out the bill. And that's it for this week's Tri-County Journal. This has been Nicolene Ambrose. I enjoyed reading with you, and I look forward to reading with you again soon.